This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington, and the show is brought to you by EMP 180 Weight Loss, the standard for weight loss in the D.C. area. It's EMP180weightloss.com. We'll get back to the Caps a little later in the program. Alan May is going to join us. Covers the Caps for NBC Sports Washington.
He'll have some interesting things to say.
But joining us right now to talk some NFL draft is the former general manager of the Redskins and Texans, Charlie Casserly. He's also, of course, on the NFL Network and NBC Sports Washington. He has a draft special coming out focusing on some of the locals like DJ Moore and Kyle LaLetta and the Edmonds brothers. Good morning, Charlie.
Hey, Charlie.
Good morning, man. How are we doing?
Hello, Charlie.
Are you depressed like us after watching the Caps lose last night?
Yeah, did you watch?
No, I didn't watch, okay? But I was thinking about the song that we play when I come on.
Yeah.
About the people, and it's so bad, we got to get up on the roof.
Right.
Right.
A little prophetic about this weekend. Huh?
Right.
It was a bad weekend.
What do you do, Charlie? I'm just telling these guys, and I'm guilty. I'm as guilty of it as anyone because I'm a big fan, right? Winning is just not easy. We take it as fans like it's so hard to win. You know what I mean? It's not a curse. It's not, you know, any other kind of wacky thing you come up with. My theory is it's really hard to win. You got to have the right pieces in place. You have to have luck that goes in your favor. You might have to have a genius or two in the organization to help kind of guide you. And even that alone won't do it, right? Everything has to come together to win a championship.
No, it does. And you talk about, I mean, lost two games in overtime.
Right.
It's not like they got blown out.
Right.
And I don't follow hockey that closely, but just reading some stats coming into the playoffs,
right,
it sounded like Columbus was coming in pretty hot,
right,
and playing well. And then, of course, you know, he went with the popular choice at the goalie, and that didn't work out.
Okay? Right.
So,
right.
And that you could see that was going to be a tough decision for him.
Right.
So hopefully, you know, last year against Pittsburgh, they were down 2-0, came back, got to game 7. Hopefully they can, you know, have that kind of turnaround here.
By the way, the Caps have lost 9 of their last 15 playoff overtime games.
Look at my not surprised face from that stat, Jason.
So they're 9 of their last 15.
Yeah, that's not a good percentage when they're tied at the end of 3, right?
It's not. You want to be on the winning side of that.
All right, so tell us, Charlie, tell us about, let's start with DJ Moore, because we had a big fight about him a couple months ago about how good or good he wasn't. He seems to be zooming up everybody's board.
Yeah, I think it's people just become more aware of him in the media as opposed to the teams. When I polled teams at the end of the season, they had him as a second-round pick. I looked at tape. I saw a second-round pick. This is not a strong draft class. Then after we had the workout with him, which will be on television tonight, I could see the explosion and the quickness coming off the ball, which sometimes you don't see on the tape. What you do see on the tape is when he catches it, he is really explosive on that first step. So I think this guy could go late, and certainly will be eaten up in the second round. I think as a number two receiver, I think the guy will be pretty good.
Mm-hmm. What about some of the other local kids? Let's talk about Kyle LaLetta from Richmond. I'm just looking at a mock draft. Yeah, I know mock drafts mean nothing, but they got him going to New England late second. What have you noticed about Kyle LaLetta out of Richmond?
Well, that's kind of a popular theory here because New England needs a quarterback. When Garoppolo came out, Garoppolo was projected to be a third, and they took him in the second, which was smart. Always take a guy around ahead if you really like the guy. The first thing that'll get you is the personality. He's got a smile on his face. He's really smart. The guy's an outgoing personality. You could see this guy will be a natural leader as he grows with the team he goes to in the NFL. Throwing talent. The guy can do everything. He's got a quick release. He's got a strong arm. He's very good outside the pocket. When you watch the tape, the two things, the deep accuracy is off, and sometimes he'll hold the ball. Now, when we worked him out, the deep accuracy was very good, and then I put him through a drill where he had to read defenses, and he handled it pretty easily. I think those things the deep accuracy is something you're either good at or you're not. So I think this guy probably is better than the games that I watched him. And I think holding the ball, that's something that'll come out with the system he's in because he's smart and he won't do it. So I think this guy is a guy that hit the senior ball, all of a sudden got to a different level, got into a maybe different system, and then jumped out and showed what he could do. So I don't think he's as good as Garoppolo coming out, but the second to New England makes a lot of sense.
How big is he?
You know, I don't remember what he is. I usually don't pay that much attention
well,
to those
things.
But
ballpark.
The guy seemed to be tall.
Ballpark, 6'3"?
Yeah, probably in the 6'2 to 6'3 range, I think.
Yeah.
So I don't see height being an issue with him.
Do you believe that five quarterbacks will be drafted in the top 15?
No, because I don't see Lamar Jackson going that high. Now, let me say this. I wouldn't take Lamar Jackson that high.
Mm-hmm.
What teams are going to do, I have no idea. Okay? These things are kind of going all over the place. One of my projects this week is to try to find out a little bit more about Lamar Jackson. I know what teams thought of him at the end of the first, at the end of the season, late one to an early two. Okay,
mm-hmm.
That shouldn't change just because people put him in different spots. You know, they may be guessing there too. I don't know. I wouldn't take him there.
Mm-hmm. Talking to Charlie Casley, former GM of the Redskins, he has his draft special, which airs tonight at 6 p.m. on NBC Sports Washington. I kind of wanted your take on Josh Allen. I saw a stat yesterday. Somebody was throwing out there as kind of a warning sign that. When he was playing junior college football, his completion percentage was under 50%. And then, obviously, the last couple of years, his completion percentage has been high. Accuracy has been the rap against him. What do you see in Josh Allen?
Yeah, kind of the stat shows up on the tape. The positive is big, strong arm guy. And this guy makes the wild throws. And he does it on more often than not, so it's not just a one-time thing. Can run, can make plays outside the pocket. I made a note in my when I wrote writing him up, I said, this guy can throw on the run. The problem is he's always on the run, okay, because he doesn't have any pass protection. But his ability to see it, react to it quickly, I think that's a legitimate question. Is it learning? Is it instincts? Is it system? That's what coaches have to find out in the spring when they study the tape with him and work him out. And this guy will miss balls. Now, the accuracy may not be quite as bad as the stat because he does have a number of drops, but accuracy is something that doesn't get better. I had him as my fourth quarterback. Now, Rosen's the guy that the personality is going to make him two or four, depending upon how you can read, how you like his personality. He's got the best talent to draft, but he won't be the first quarterback.
Mm-hmm. All right, what about the Edmonds brothers down at Tech? Tremaine, he's projected mid-first round. His brother Terrell, I don't know where he's projected, but I mean, what genetics, man, with the Edmonds? Trey Edmonds. Was Trey Edmonds with the Saints last year? Who was he with last year?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Tremaine, as far as the linebacker goes, best linebacker in the draft. It's where somebody wants to take this guy. This guy could go in the top 10. He'll go before 15.
Mm-hmm.
Now, his brother, I like his brother. I think his brother's a second-round pick. It's sort of a stronger safety draft than normal, and there's not a lot of teams that will need a safety high, so the safeties will slide some. But I think somebody gets this guy in a second, they're going to get a hell of a pick. Because I think this guy will start and be good.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a feeling of what Cleveland will do at one?
No, I don't, other than a quarterback.
Right.
Darnold, to me, is the number one quarterback in the draft, and I think that's what they should do. The popular wave of media right now is Josh Allen. I don't know if that's true or not.
I'm hearing a lot about Mayfield, too. Like, he's skyrocketing.
Well, with Cleveland?
Well,
I think
maybe not Cleveland, but maybe with the Jets.
Well, it could be. Here's Mayfield. A guy is the negative perceptually is his personality. Teams don't feel that's an issue. They feel that'll clean itself up in the NFL, and
mm-hmm.
it's more of a positive than a negative, the competitiveness on him. I think he's going to be best in a rhythm passing game where the ball comes out quick, plays you get him outside the pocket, and I think those are the things that he's best. Now, his accuracy and his decision-making, you know, that needs some polishing. He's better than Allen. He's going to have to learn a pro system. But I think he can do that because when you watch him at the Senior Bowl, the foot quickness and the release were outstanding. And that's what you have to have in the NFL is get it out quick. So if you're in a system, and I said this on television, okay, when your book on him is he needs to be in a rhythm passing game where it comes out quick. And I said, that's the first thing I said about the highest paid quarterback in the National Football League, Kirk Cousins.
Charlie,
okay, now, go ahead.
Pivoting to the Redskins here, do they have the luxury of drafting a running back at 13 like a Darius Geis out of LSU, or do they have to go defense with that first pick, in your opinion?
They have to get a player, okay? And depending upon who's there, if Vita Vea is there, I take him. This guy, to me, is Haloti Ngata coming out of college, but he's better than Ngata in college because he gives you a better motor and gives you more production. I think Payne of Alabama it would be a good discussion. Derwin James would be a good discussion in there. I think they're probably both better than I think James is better than Geis. I think Geis might be better than Payne. But there's a chance they can get a running back in the second round because I got six running backs rated in the first round.
Wow.
So there's a chance they could get a good one.
Who are your six?
Round.
We obviously know Geis and Barkley. Who else do you have?
We've got Ronald Jones of USC, who won't go in the first round. Okay, kind of some coaching issues there as an underclassman. Then as a senior, he blossomed. Sony Michel, Georgia. Mm-hmm. Nick Chubb of Georgia. And then Rashad Penny of San Diego State.
Hmm.
So they one of those should be there where they pick in the second round, which would be an upgrade of where they are.
Right.
Yeah, I'm wondering if when San Francisco picks at 9, obviously if Barkley were to slip all the way to 9, they would jump on him, but I don't think he will.
That can't happen, can it?
No, I'm just saying, if he was available, they would obviously jump on him. But Reuben Foster is a disaster, and he may have to go to jail for a couple of years.
Not available.
Right. So I'm just wondering if Roquan Smith out of Georgia is someone you have Tremaine Edmonds as your number one back or linebacker. Where do you have Smith? And then you think at 9 they could jump on Smith to replace Foster?
Smith is number 2 as a linebacker. Smith would be an excellent pick in their system. They're a 4-3 system. They want linebackers that are athletic, that can run, can chase, and cover. That's exactly what Romaine Smith is. They need a rusher, though. And the question to me was, would they take Davenport, Texas San Antonio, there? Mm-hmm. Because that's their number one need on defense is a rusher. You're right about Foster. Now, again, this isn't a surprise. I'm not saying you pick a guy and say, I know he's going to do that. No. But the guy had issues coming out of college.
Yeah, he did.
And that's – they were medical and other – and that's why the guy went there. Okay. So when everybody was raving about their draft, it was timeout. Solomon Thomas can't rush the passer from end, and that's what you took him for. And this other guy is a buyer beware guy.
Right.
So,
They took a chance on him, and they whiffed. I mean, they took a chance, and it just didn't work out.
Yeah, but what does it tell you, Charlie? They haven't flat-out released him yet. I mean, any other team, I feel like, even though he's a high draft pick, would have, by now, they would have moved on.
Well, not knowing all the facts, but two things I would think right away. First of all, the guy is a good player. Okay,
right.
So we're going to do everything we can to keep this player, but, okay, let's make sure these facts are correct.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing I can think of is they want to make sure 100% mm-hmm. if they're going to cut him, the facts are 100% right. So that's the thing there.
But if they are right, he's probably going to jail.
Then we won't have to worry about where he's playing
right.
next year, will we?
Exactly.
So,
What is your take, Charlie, on what the Cowboys did with Dez? I mean, I understand, big number, less production. People can obviously see the decline in the last couple of years. But why wait so long? Seems like they did a disservice to him. And then where do you see him fitting in? Have you thought about that at all?
Waiting so long, from the team's point of view, they probably wanted to go as long as they could to see what they could do and get close to the draft to project who they maybe could get and who they had as replacements. That's number one. Number two, I think it's about money. There's no question, even though it's reported, it was never talked about. It's certainly money was part of it. I think the bigger picture was the attitude. Dez is a guy that, remember, coming out of college, he was drafted late because of, quote, issues.
Mm-hmm.
And the Cowboys took a chance on him, put a big support group around him. But I think the guy is still inconsistent. We just don't read about it as far as doing the things he's supposed to do. If you don't get him the ball early, it becomes a problem. I think he was hurting Prescott, okay, as a quarterback, because Prescott now is being forced to throw to him. And that was hurting him. They don't have a guy better than him. Right now, if you press him, look at it this way. When Rashad Breeland could cover this guy, just press him. You take him out of the game, say, if you're a size corner. I don't know where he's going to go. He's a number two right now and shouldn't get a big contract. Okay, those are the two things I know. And you better understand the personality.
Right.
He's going to say all the right things, but history says he's not going to be the most reliable guy.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. All right. Thank you, Charlie. Appreciate it as always, buddy.
All right. Good. And once again, 6 o'clock tonight, NBC Sports Washington, our draft special, and we also have it on airing at 10 p.m. tonight.
Very nice. Excellent. Excellent. All right. Thank you, buddy.
Okay.
6 o'clock.
I might catch
the 6.
Special. I'm catching the 10.
It tends a little late.
And it does focus on the locals like DJ Moore, Kyle Loletta, and Edmonds.
I believe he sprinkled some of his magic pixie dust on Yannick Ngakoue from Maryland. He put him through the paces in one of these a few years ago, and that guy's doing work in Jacksonville.
Hmm. Is that good genetics? When Farrell Edmonds used to play tight end for the Terps, going to have 3 kids in the NFL?
I would say that's really good genetics.
Is that
yes.
pretty good?
Yeah, I think
crazy.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy. I just like my kids.
Yeah.
All studs.
I'm son of Paul and Lourdes Flame. Love my parents, but...
Carl and Shirley, they gave me silly jeans.
Yeah, no first rounders
my
here,
dad
though.
Used to swing a baseball bat with the one arm.
Yeah.
Remember?
Hey, you know what? He could have scored against the Caps last night.
Maybe so.
The game winner against the Caps. Well, that sort of move.
All right. Phone number is 800-636-1067. Maybe we'll revisit the Caps for those that are just tuning in. Caps lose another one in overtime. They're down 2-0. Do you have any hope that they get back in this series? 800-636-1067. We'll take your calls next here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Warenski gets the middle, fires, kick by rebound, they score! Calvert! And it's a 2-game sweep for Columbus in Washington.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. Caps trail the Columbus Blue Jackets 2 games to Zippy, and now the series heads back to Columbus. They lose 5-4 in overtime last night. And we're opening up the Hadid Carpet Cleaning listener lines again. As we open up the show, talking Caps, do you hold out any hope for the Washington Capitals to get back in the series? It's funny. You can always tweet us at Junks Radio. I was looking at some of the comments on Junks Radio, and we haven't done this bit in a while, but somebody said, could you replay last year's show on the same topic?
Well, we say that all the time.
We do, but it does apply.
I'm sure a lot of the same things are being said today, as they were last year,
now,
after the Caps were in a 0-2 hole.
Now, it's not over yet. It's not over yet.
You're holding out hope?
It's 87% chance over.
I mean, 87%, but that doesn't count down 2-0 at home.
That's true.
Got to be worse at home.
Probably, all right, so let's call it 93% chance over.
I think
so. But it still gives you a little glimmer of hope with that 7%.
But I did see, if we're going to look through all the trends, that teams that are down 0-2, having lost both games in overtime, they're 0-5.
Right. That's what my buddy was saying. Like, if you lose in overtime again, you know, it just doesn't bode well. You know, you're supposed to be winning these games. Look at what Pittsburgh's doing when they're winning. Win by a touchdown, win by 4.
Blowout yeah. city for them.
How yeah. annoying is it to see Sidney Crosby with a hat trick in the first game of the playoffs?
I mean, it's...
Didn't he score,
I'm over it.
Didn't he score yesterday, too?
He's the best player on the planet. It's what you expect. Just things you expect from the best player in the world.
We might have the second best player in the planet. Okay. Second best ain't that bad. I'm all about lowering the bar. Maybe I am.
But the Caps are never second best as a team.
Well, no, when you lose to the eventual cup champs, which we did last year, I took a little pride in that.
Oh, I take zero pride in that.
Well, some people hate it.
I'm doing a bit.
I know.
But, you know.
We have the best goal scorer on the planet. That's what the Caps have. He's the best goal scorer on the planet.
Correct.
There's no disputing that.
I think so. It's funny, though. Historically, you have guys that have gotten to his numbers quicker, but it was a different league.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know.
Phone number is 800-636-1067.
give us your take on why the Caps are down 2-0, what you would do moving forward, and if you have any hope. I think that mostly it's hopelessness for Caps fans.
Maybe.
Have we had one person call in to say they're going to actually come back to win?
Yeah, one guy did, but
one
he wasn't
did.
A Caps fan.
But he was a Pens fan.
He was a Penguins fan. He was doing an emotional weird reverse jinx bit.
He doesn't want to play
because
the
he doesn't
Caps.
Want to face us.
Right.
I don't know why. They beat us every year.
Because Theory. He actually subscribes to the old EB Do Theory. Which I got
the Pens are due for a loss to the Caps.
And my theory is, I was this way. If it was up to me, I'd still have Jason Campbell at quarterback for the Redskins. Because I'd like to just keep knocking on the door.
You still have Dale Hunter as your Washington Capitals coach.
Yes. You mock me? Dale Hunter's teams fought. And I would say as hard as any team I can remember in recent memory. Would you argue that?
Maybe.
Would you argue that?
The end results are the same.
Okay.
They may have fought harder, but they lost 2-1 snorefest. If we're going to lose, I'll take 5-4.
I actually loved the way they played. I really did. They fought their asses off.
You know who knocked on the door every year? The New York Knicks with Patrick Ewing.
Yeah,
I mean, it's just...
We didn't even get that close.
You can knock on the door.
They were getting to the finals.
Okay.
We don't even get that close.
The recent Atlanta Hawks knocked on the door every year until they blew it up. I mean... Knocked on the door, I guess, is nice.
For anything.
I agree. Look, I think our buddy John from Mechanicsville has called in and said, just enjoy the regular season.
Right. That's basically what we're going to do
to win your division. The playoffs, he predicted this was the year for the Cavs.
Right.
I saw that tweet.
I didn't see that.
Oh, yeah. I saw that.
he was texting his buddies deep down, I think this is the year for Cavs.
Yeah.
And then someone screenshotted and put it on Twitter.
That is troubling.
Hoard him. All right, let's go to Jim in Dumfries. Want to hear from you, Caps fans. I know it's brutal. Give us your analysis. Jim, what's up?
Hey, guys. Good morning. How are you today?
What's going on, buddy?
I want to bring on the fact that during the regular season, we go to 3-on-3 after regulation.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd rather see old hockey and go 5-on-5 for 10 minutes, and then, if necessary, 3-on-3 for 5 minutes, and call it a draw. If it ends up in a draw, go one point apiece, just due to the fact that we have a couple of guys that koozie and people that can dance out there and make 3-on-3 go 2-on-1 real quick and go the other way.
Are you saying in the playoffs you want to get it to 3-on-3?
No.
I want to go the regular season.
During the regular season.
That's an argument for another time.
He thinks that affects the Caps for whatever reason.
Say what now?
How does that affect our current situation? How does that comment affect or have anything to do with our current situation?
Because playoff hockey is 5-on-5.
Right.
Play 5-on-5 during the regular season.
I understand.
To where it's not taking away from the game. The game is meant to be played 5-on-5 with the referees calling penalties and the whole nine yards.
But don't they? I got you.
Well, you know what? Before they changed the rule to 3-on-3, they were playing 5-on-5. We were still losing the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter. I couldn't care less about that little nugget at this
and
point.
They're doing that because they don't want the games to go forever.
Right.
You're going to get a goal and you're going to be decided and move on.
Exactly.
Yeah. Last night's game I thought was maybe going to go on forever.
Oh, I knew it wasn't going to go on forever. You thought it was going to go like
second
a whole OT period?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I did?
I did.
Oh,
the way
I
it was trending.
The end of regulation.
How long did the overtime go before we lost? 12, 13, 14
minutes?
Remember.
It wasn't
a quick hitter.
At the end of regulation,
I thought we were looking at a second overtime.
I decided I put on Homeland at the end of regulation, and then I just checked in with the Caps.
All I know is...
Oh, really?
After it was over...
And I did see the loss. I saw it, but I would just periodically check in. Because, first of all, the intermission is like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
So I got to watch 15 minutes of maybe the most filler of filler episodes of Homeland.
Oh,
no.
Bitter.
I'm just telling you.
Salty. It's a filler. Because I think there are 12 or 13 episodes in a season. Okay?
Yeah.
That was episode 10 of this season, so there are a couple left, and there will be action and some sort of dramatic conclusion here in the next couple of episodes.
Wow, I'm not looking forward to seeing it now.
I don't even have to see it. If you want to see Carrie in court,
this is your episode.
If you want to see Carrie recovering.
Well, you know what? I'd rather watch all of that
and watch Barry Trotz and the bench grasp at an offsides that would nullify the overtime winner for Columbus.
I want to pose a question.
That was annoying.
Were they asked about that after the game?
Yes, he said. Barry Trotz said that they were basically praying. They were praying.
Yeah. I don't watch post game pressers, especially after there's been a knife stuck in my heart. I turn the TV off and I go to bed.
Grasping. I want to ask EB a particular question, but we can go around the room. So you want to keep knocking on the door?
Well, I wouldn't trade Ovi, Backstrom, or any of the core guys. If you're going to let Carlson go and let him, want to sign that big contract, I get it.
But keep knocking on the door.
Blow up
would
the
you
team.
Keep knocking on the door with Trotz?
I can't be objective.
It's hard
in these
because
situations
we know.
I know because I like him.
I agree,
but I think he understands the expectations, and I don't think it would necessarily make a difference. But sure, I would try to roll the dice with another coach. That would be the one concession I would make. But I'm not blowing
up
the
players. Well, if it's true that he and McClellan don't get along, then you obviously
I think the decision was already made because they didn't extend him.
You could side with Trotz and get rid of McClellan.
No, they're not
going
to.
Well,
he's
not going anywhere.
They like the moves that McClellan's made.
Yeah, the GM is going to stay.
My understanding is they like the moves he's made.
The moves are putting him in the same spot.
But on paper, they're good moves. Right. So then you just blame the players.
Hey, on paper, Grubauer was a hot goalie.
Yeah. I would not second guess the Grubauer decision. It was the right decision. It just didn't work. Right decision didn't work.
I'm kind of second guessing it. That's what I do.
You first guessed it.
I'm on record. I'm fine with changing anything and everything.
Right.
Coaches, players, front office.
I'm not getting rid of arguably the greatest goal scorer of our lifetime. I'm not getting rid of that guy who had 49 goals and just balled out last night. Why am I blowing that up?
Here's why. Because they always wind up in the same spot. That's why.
Yeah, just need
more.
You're going to keep knocking on the door.
You're going to keep banging your head against the door for 18 years with Alex Ovechkin.
I'm rolling the dice with arguably the greatest goal scorer of our lifetime.
I'm not disputing.
Can't really say that with Gretzky out there, but the second best maybe.
He's a great goal scorer. He can't elevate his team in the playoffs.
He's
for
Carmelo Anthony.
And he had a great game last night.
Carmelo Anthony was a very good, one of the best scorers in the game.
That's what they said
about. Maybe even led the
that's
NBA.
What they said about Elway until the last 2 years.
Correct.
And he just kept knocking on the door and finally.
I get it. Phil Mickelson. I mean, you can change the narrative.
Carmelo missed the playoffs 5 straight years. I like the rush of April where you get a
even
little bit of
a quick rush.
Because I like a guy who called in about the Buffalo. There's lots of fans out there that you just don't get the playoffs every
year. Do you know the playoffs are going to continue for months and we won't even know?
We won't even talk
year.
About it.
We get eliminated in the first or second round. It goes on for years.
It's annoying.
It's like still on in the middle of the summer. You're like, what's going on?
It's like early June and people are still playing hockey.
What's going on? They're still playing hockey?
Because I like the passionate Caps fans that call in. No one cares about the Wizards.
Like, to
we
win
already
a
know
cup,
that.
Don't you have to win like 30 games or something?
You have to win 16 games.
I mean,
although the Wizards have higher ratings on NBC Sports Washington
than
the Caps.
Yeah, well, they have a larger fan base.
You know how many Wizards calls we got last week?
No one cares.
Because they knew that they're going to get beaten by the Raptors in the first round. Well, the 1-8
truly, but you know what? At least call us and tell us that.
They truly limped into the playoffs.
I'm a bigger hoops fan than I am a hockey fan. Not even close. Playoff hockey destroys playoff basketball.
It was also, I think, with the Caps,
with
the difference
home,
between the Caps
with
and the Wizards.
Your favorite team.
Well, that's
with
why
Caps,
I want them to beat Columbus. So
with the
we
Caps,
can,
there's actually
even
a
though
sweat.
We'll lose to Pittsburgh, it's exciting to watch it. Something to look forward to every couple
it is,
nights.
But let's just, it's inevitable that we're going to lose. Let's just end it now.
Yeah, do you want to die a quick death or death by 1,000 cuts? Which would you prefer?
1,000 cuts.
Okay, yeah. It's a little more painful that way.
Give me a fighting chance.
You
in
last
each game.
Longer, but it's painful.
Let's go to Dave in Manassas. Dave, what's up?
Good morning, boys. Thanks for taking my call. Love the show. Long-time listener.
Thanks.
I think the first of all, they just crushed my soul. I don't even want to come to work this morning, but it's just annoying. They take stupid penalties at the wrong times that cost them the game, and I think I'm with Lurch. I think we got to go back to Holpe. Problem with that, if
of
that blows up, then you got
Holpe.
Yeah, we are going back to Holpe. They will.
Yeah, there's no
even Grubauer. I was a Grubauer supporter. Of course, I'm going to Holpe. Of course.
But they should have just went with the playoff experience vote from jump. Maybe I didn't
Why?
Say it correctly.
You're going to ignore the hottest goalie in the league? You can't do that. I don't think you could do that. I think it was the right call.
I don't know. I got to go with. I think I'm with Lurch on this. Got to go with the playoff experience. But I still bigger reason is Barkovs be tripping somebody. What, I don't know how long was this net to net, 100 feet from the
that
goal
was a terrible
in
penalty.
Game one, yep. And then Willie jumping on the stack like he's a linebacker yesterday.
Man, that was stupid. It was dumb.
I would agree with that.
But they also benefited from dumb penalties on the other side. They had power play opportunity after power play opportunity,
but were
and they
their
finally cashed
as
in.
Stupid as ours?
I don't
like
know.
One or two of them was fluky, like a puck over the wall.
Right.
That's not necessarily like as stupid as ours.
I don't know.
And they've been more efficient
the slashing,
on the power play.
One of their guys did have a two-handed Paul Bunyan-like slash right. on Ocean.
Well,
broke
look,
his stick right in half.
Look, in game one, Anderson almost decapitated Kempe or whatever his name
right.
is.
Kempe,
right.
yeah.
Yeah, so.
Well, that's the reason he got sent off the ice.
Right, that's pretty stupid, and we scored twice off it.
Drab makes the argument that, yes, you can say that it made logical sense to go with Grubauer. He was hot. But clearly, because he lost the first two in the results, it was the wrong call.
Well, you could say that. That's just second-guessing. I think, like, knowing the information you have at that time, I thought it was the right call, but it doesn't mean it works out. In other words, I can get my money in good. They got their
I
money
understand.
In good. In
most
poker,
people.
I got aces against kings. My money's in good. I can lose 20% of the time or whatever the percentage is, but I got my money in good. I think Trotz got his money in good with the hottest goalie in the league. Just didn't pan out.
Most people agreed with you.
Definitely hasn't panned out. I mean, it's actually comical. It's small sample size.
What?
And it will get him fired.
If it panned out, it couldn't save his job.
He's on a bullet train to get him fired.
He got his money in good. You can argue, but
you know what,
Drabby?
If he would have started
technically
Holtby,
not fired Casey, just
if they would have started Holtby, they probably would have lost 3-2 in overtime instead of 5-4.
Yeah. I tend to agree with that.
Grubby was the right call for games 1 and 2. Holtby is the right call for game 3. It's the biggest no-brainer
Holtby
ever.
Was the right call for the third period.
Yeah.
It was perfect. And I'm a Grubauer supporter, but it wasn't working, so you got to adjust. But I have no problem with starting game 1 or game 2.
By the
zero.
Way, such a close game. Right. Carlson hit the pipe in overtime,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. Crushed it.
Yeah.
With a blast.
Now listen, we're still going to lose because you already blew the whole ice.
We're not even talking about when we hit the pipe earlier. Puck bounces and hits
the back of the skate.
SpongeBob on the back of his stupid skate. Yeah. And then it's trickling towards the line to go in. And he just somehow pinwheels and stops the puck.
Because he's good.
That was the epitome of puck unluck.
Oh.
It's totally of it.
Because he's good.
It's exhausting being a Caps fan. Look at me. I'm exhausted.
Yeah. You look that way every day.
It's true. I'm just trying to
look terrible every day.
I'm trying
day,
to blame my bags on being a Caps fan. It's
I thought they'd be worse, actually, today.
Had to throw a third beer in for overtime. Crush that.
Wednesday, they'll be worse.
Crush my soul.
They'll be
crush
worse
a third beer.
All right, phone number's 800-636-1067 if you want to chime in. Remember our pal Alan May, Capitals analyst for NBC Sports Washington. He'll join us to give us his insight coming up at 9 o'clock. Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. Talking about the Caps, they lose to Columbus in overtime last night, 5-4. They're down 2-0 in the series. Both games, of course, were at home. They now go on the road, trailing 2-0. Now, in playoff history for the Caps, they've been down 2-0, I guess, 7 times most recently, and they are 2-5. But last year, now they did lose part of that 2-5 to the Pens. They were down 2-0. And came back to force a game 7 at home.
Yep.
Actually.
And it was a big dud. Lost 2-0. Dead and lifeless.
Teams come back. Yeah. I mean, it's happened. Yeah. I mean, the dumb Red Sox. I mean, teams come back, but it's just unlikely.
We'll look at the Capitals' record on the road in the playoffs the last 3 or 4 years. Let's do that.
It's not going to be pretty.
Let's do that.
You have fun looking that up.
Just answer this.
Let's do that.
Answer this one way or the other. Is it over?
You mean this series? Is it over?
Yes.
Yes.
Over, Johnny. So over.
But they're gonna. My point is, they're gonna make it interesting.
Yeah. They might make it interesting. I don't know. Or it could go either way. It could just be a collapse. It was over before it started because the Penguins are in their bracket. I mean, it's over before it started.
But this series,
they're not going to win.
Over.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to the phones.
It's too much to overcome. Let's go to...
It's so maddening. By the way, congrats, Columbus. Your first ever playoff victory is going to come against the Washington Capitals. Congrats to you.
You're saying that with some sarcasm, Mike.
I am congratulating them prematurely.
Genuine? You're trying to do the reverse jinx.
No, it's laced with sarcasm. Of course, I'm not happy for them.
That's just his defense mechanism. Just, laughing.
Good job. But you're acting like it's not a big win for them. It's a great win for them.
It's okay. I mean, they're beating a team that always limps out after the second round of the playoffs. So, I mean, it's an okay win, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, somebody tweeted us a couple of interesting points. Trotz did scratch Verana.
Yeah, saw that.
Which some people were upset by.
They didn't even like that. He only played like 5 or 6 minutes in the first game.
They didn't like his defensive lapses.
And then this guy also said, Orpik somehow gets ice time. Give me one good reason why.
Every Caps they have fan to play. Hates him.
They have to play some defenseman.
Yeah.
That'd be my answer. Who else are you going to play?
0.5% of me believes that Orpik is still a sleeper agent for the Pittsburgh Penguins. I'm not alone in thinking that. Right. I'm sure a very small contingent fan base of the Caps believes that as well.
You know, I will say this, and again, this is over my pay grade because I can't pay attention to this kind of detail when I'm watching a hockey game. But the line matching that Greenberg said last week, and we had Neil Greenberg from the Washington Post on, that Barry typically doesn't pay attention to, per se, when you have home ice, is maddening if true on paper, theoretically in my head. Because that's kind of the advantage of having home ice.
Right.
Beyond having your fans cheering is that advantage to match lines.
Yes.
And the fact that Barry, I guess, if this is true, I don't know, maybe it's not true. If it's true that he's just sort of stubbornly just thinks, well, I'm just going to play my guys and not worry about your guys, I understand that philosophy. But I feel like that's an advantage that we're not taking advantage of.
I would like to know how many coaches
maybe
do
he's
that.
Gone to the John Gruden camp.
Right? I don't have enough context, but it sure sounds like we're not utilizing every advantage that we could have.
I would love to know how many coaches actually do that and disregard it. By the way, if you're keeping track, under Barry Trotz, the Caps are 8-11 on the road in the last 4 years in the playoffs.
I love Barry Trotz. So.
I thought it might be worse than that, actually.
Most of those losses are to Pittsburgh.
I'm not going to sit here and trash the guy. I love the guy.
Of course.
Most of them are to Pittsburgh.
Two-time Stanley Cup champs right now.
All right, let's go to Frank and Bowie. Frank, what's up?
Hey, guys. I've been a long-time Caps fan since 1974, and it's not over. I'm an eternal optimist. We're not playing the 83 Islanders here, okay? We're playing the 2018 Columbus Blue Jackets. Mm-hmm. Anyone's watched the game, Caps are clearly, and by wide margin, the better team, okay? But I am concerned about the goaltending. Like John Madden once said, with the quarterbacks, if you have two number one quarterbacks, you don't have a number one quarterback. That's my comment. Go Caps.
All right.
I mean, that guy's an eternal
you
optimist.
You are. You're very, very positive.
I think you just have to look at it realistically. You know, without being snarky or without being, you know, you're down 0-2. You lost the first two at home. It's very unlikely you can pull it out. Can you? Sure. Has it happened before? Sure. But it's rare.
It's rare. Very rare.
So you're in rarefied air if you can pull this out.
About 6-7%.
You can sit there and delude yourself into thinking, oh, we're going to do this. And maybe you will. But it's going to take borderline a miracle. To do
saw
it.
This stat.
And by the way, they've been better than some of the teams that they've lost to in the playoffs. Maybe not Pittsburgh, but they've been better.
Well, they've been better on paper than a lot of teams that they've lost to in the playoffs.
Correct.
Just saw this stat. Rob Carlin put it out. Teams that take a 2-0 lead on the road in a best-of-7 Stanley Cup playoff series hold an all-time series record of 70-19. 78.7%. That's actually a greater percentage than I thought. For the underdog, which would be right around 21-22%.
I thought it was going to be like 93% that they win. It's only 79%?
Correct.
All right, let's go to Mark in Fairfax. Mark, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junks.
Good morning, boys. How are you on this misery Monday?
What's up, man?
Doing great.
What's up?
Doing all right on this end. Just frustrated with the overall play. And I don't know, I'll comment and say this. I'm just kind of a casual fan. I don't really watch regular season. I know pretty much when playoff time rolls around, the Caps are pretty much going to be in, whether it's 1 seed or 8 seed, whatever. And over the weekend and late last week, I found myself watching some of the other series between the Pens Flyers, the Preds Avalanche, the Knights and Kings. For some odd reason, I was up, whatever. I feel like the intensity level in those series are much higher than what the Caps are playing with against the Blue Jackets. And I don't know, Cakes, maybe you can speak to that and maybe watching some of these other series. Do you feel that's kind of the case?
For
First of all,
he doesn't watch the game.
Actually, I haven't watched 1 second of the stupid Vegas Golden Knights.
He doesn't
watch. By the way, they've been a franchise for 5 minutes, and they have a 3-0 series lead.
Incredible.
Over the Kings.
So frustrating. I hate that fact. It drives me nuts.
It's annoying.
Can't get,
and by the way, they pass on Grubauer.
Look, I think the Caps are they're plenty intense, but here's what they also are, at least in these two games, committing dumb penalties at the exact wrong times. They have multiple goal leads, and they squander them because Devontae Smith-Pelly has to grab somebody's stick, or because Tom Wilson can't resist his urge to jump into a pile and wrestle Seth Jones down to the ice. It's of their own doing.
Yeah, very true.
They're doing it to themselves.
You're right.
And it's maddening.
Can I bring up something just to Drab that I was just thinking about? Drab was really dead set against us playing Get That Stanley. Like, we couldn't even have fun.
I never want to hear that song ever again.
Because he felt like that was hatching the Capitals.
It should be changed to Get That
Capitals,
Second Round instead of Get That Stanley. Okay?
Meanwhile, you say you actually like this time of year because you can have that sweat and you like to play off hockey, even though you know
that's the way
that it's
I feel.
Ultimately going
to
end in disappointment.
Drabby, you and
so
I
you're
agree
having
to that.
Fun watching the Caps. Why can't you just have fun playing Get That Stanley?
Fine, if you want to play Get That Stanley and do some...
Well, it's clearly not... Your whole thing is it was jinxing the Caps. The Caps are down 2-0.
No, I said it didn't help. It wasn't helping. You're adding to the pressure.
Oh, it's certainly not helping.
Wouldn't it be embarrassing if we played that? If we played a new Get That Stanley song every day, then all of a sudden they're down 0-2. Get swept by the Blue Jackets.
It's a funny bit.
Well, maybe it's
like Cakes playing Titanic.
Maybe it's like the goaltender situation. Maybe they lose if we play it or if we don't play it. No matter what, they lose. It's like the goalie.
Right.
No matter what goalie you stick out there, they're going to lose.
That may be the case.
There's no right or wrong call. They're just going to lose.
And by the way,
I'm with you, Drabby.
By the way, speaking of goalies,
I love the fact that there's still a sweat.
Oh, it beats being in Phoenix and having a hockey team that's the worst team in the league.
Okay, fine, whatever. Bobrovsky, by the way, has not been a brick wall.
Right.
The Caps have gotten to him, and
exactly.
They're still losing.
Exactly.
It's not like he's playing like Patrick Roy back in the day.
Patrick Roy.
I know it's Patrick Roy.
He's facing 60 shots.
He faced 60 shots.
Okay,
but
he's not that silly in this series.
He hasn't been incredible.
He's been better than Grubauer, but he hasn't been that silly.
Yeah, he's been better than our guy, that's for sure.
Okay, well, that's all you need.
Well, apparently that is.
That's all you need.
Apparently that
just
is.
Just to be one goal better.
Or we just have to hit him with 200 shots. You know what I'm saying? Well, you have to just overwhelm him. So I thought 100 was but no, it's got to be like 200.
Overwhelm him. I'll tell you what.
You got to overwhelm him.
The Oshie power play goal was awesome, but before that, I swear to God, Columbus had Bobrovsky, they had 100 guys around the net.
Well, I will also say this.
It was
there
impossible.
Is something, people talk about this. People talk about it, so I'm not bringing up anything new. But the quality of the shot. I remember one time, Ovi took one from 80 feet out.
Right.
I was like, what are you
doing?
I know he's trying to get a rebound or something, but there's not even going to be a rebound off of an 80-footer.
He's a volume shooter.
I get it. But, I mean, it's like, dude, you haven't even crossed center ice and you're flinging it at the goal. You're unbelievable, but
he's
get a
shooter. A
little closer.
That's what he is. Like James Harden said, I'm a shooter. Yeah. That's what Ovi is.
Something to the quality of the shot. That's all. All right. Can I do one more? They're saying no.
Why not?
I don't know, because he's not very fun.
He really isn't.
He's got a tumor in his throat or something. He's all grumpy.
Yeah. Hopefully he's benign.
Hey, why doesn't Trotz consider the beer league goalie that works in accounting?
I know. That's a great story.
He's going to be that guy.
We had one like that.
We had seven saves.
Somebody called him Brett Lee. Is it Leonhardt?
Yeah. Was that the guy that we knew?
Yes.
He played in a game or two.
The video guy. He's a good dude.
Can't be any worse than Groovy. Groovy.
Poor Groovy.
Groovy
was
wow.
A choking dog.
He couldn't handle it.
What's his contract situation? Because if
he's an RFA at the end of this year,
there's no chance he's on the Caps next
year. Beer league guy has a better glove.
Scott Foster, is that his name?
The you guy want to talk about your Blackhawks? How could you ever trust him? And I was for it, and I don't second guess it, but how could you ever trust him again in the future in a big moment?
You can't.
You got to move on.
Right.
New team.
You know what I'm ready for?
Probably will.
I'm ready for the Ilya Samsonov era to begin.
That's the new young
silly. Bring him
up. Young 21 or 23-year-old Russian star.
You're already
bring him
over Holpe. Holpe was your guy.
I'm over him.
That was your guy.
I'm over him.
I think Holpe's going to play, obviously, better than Grubauer.
Man,
I do think that.
Is that hard?
Right, and then you're going to say, damn, I wish we would have started Whole Feed.
No, I'm not going to second guess it because I know it was the right decision, theoretically.
Of course I got myself a Whole Feed jersey earlier this year.
Of course you did. You got
How could you start a guy that was poop?
Hey, I just want to be able to wear my Brooks Wallach jersey, and I can't.
You can still wear it.
When am I going to wear it?
Wear it tomorrow.
Wednesday? No.
Wear it?
It's got to be the day after
a win. No, wear it before. Don't be a bandwagon guy. Wear it before.
No, it's got to be the day after
a win.
We'll
do a matching Brooks like. If the Caps win, which is a huge if, on Tuesday night, Wednesday, we wear our Brooks jerseys in together on Wednesday.
All right.
All right. Phone number if you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. We're the Junkies. Coming right back.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.